The mind loves hierarchy. It loves to believe that it's here and this is the best place, this is better than all other places it could be, or here, or wherever it's going. It loves the idea that this is more. It's sort of, it can't function really without hierarchy, without comparison. In a way, it's like a very normal survival thing to be able to compare and to say this is better than that. This person's better than that person. This food's better than that food. This environment's better than that environment. Like, language is based on those opposites. And it enjoys that. In spiritual communities, you find it. My group is better than yours. My teacher's better than yours. This message is better than yours. It's kind of like a prerequisite for a cult, really, or for any organisation, to imply that that one is better than another. Otherwise no one would come. Very few would come. You've got to imply that this message is better than something else in order for the mind to be like, oh yeah, so I've come here because it's better than the last one I went to. I've come here because this is the best teaching. This is the one that's going to lead me towards freedom. And every speaker by default does it, implies that that message is better. They can't help it. Even by me saying this is implying it's better than. You can't help it. It's the way language is set up in comparison. The way the mind works, or I mean, what is the mind? It's the way thinking works, is in comparison. That's the way language works, in opposites. This is, we know this because of that. We know this is black because this is white. We know this is good because we have a notion of what is bad. That's crazy. How can anything be outside of you? How can any speaker be wrong? How is that not you? How can anything be higher or lower? If you're in a group that's doing dancing, and the group's saying, yeah, this dancing's going to lead you to something, this is going to lead you to enlightenment. I mean, all of that's crazy talk. How is anything outside of you? That's you talking to you. You're saying to yourself, hey, this is the best one. That last one you were at was wrong. This is the best one. It's to believe that anything can be better is just a very tiny idea. It's all you. It's you saying to you, this one's better. And then in a different form it goes, no, this one's better than that one. Then in another form it goes, no, this message is better than that one. Who is outside of you? Who is speaking to you? Who do you think speaking to you? Who do you think now is speaking to you? The mind says, well, I am this body, so therefore that is another body out there. But that's thought. What's happening in reality is not inside-outside, it's all happening in one beingness, in one aliveness, or whatever word we pick for it, or amness. It's not outside of that amness. You can't ever be in the wrong place. You can't ever be in the superior place. It's all you. And you sit there and you think, right, now I'm going to really think this, or I'm going to really tell this speaker that they've led me up the garden path and that they're wrong. Who are you talking to? Where is outside of you? Are these sounds outside of you? Without the thoughts, inside, outside, my body, their body, is this sound outside of you? Without the description of what you are, is there another? And is that a reality, the description of what you are? I am this body. I am somebody that chooses. It's normally about choice and action. I've done this, I've done that. Who? It's so beautiful, this part, because the more it's, the clouds move away to from me and outside world, it's all peering in that beingness. This is the intimate, the love, and it's all absolutely empty. It means nothing. And this emptiness, it sounds so negative, is the freedom, is the boundlessness. This silence that's here. So whenever we're in a little game of we know better, and we can speak bullshit stuff, like we all speak bullshit stuff, but I mean like when it's seriously believed that this is better place, how could that be if it's all one? How is the last place not it as well, no matter what they're saying? How is it? It's all you. The mind goes, body me, not body you. Not sensation you, although that's appearing in this. There's no escape. And the mind starts going, well, they've done it. Who? They did that. Who? It tries to pedal. Who are they but you? There's nowhere to go. There's no escape. Yeah, but they're bad. It just looks in bad. Okay, yes, but in the appearance of things, that body is bad. So the way that the whole of society works is on comparison. There's always, and it moves forward on the comparison that makes society better. You can see it's a really practical functioning, but it's not a reality. It's never been a reality, all these comparisons. And the biggest comparison is you and I.
Is it too much?
No, it's not down. It's just that last time he wanted it closed all the time because he didn't want to see it.
Also, maybe because
the so it's up.
It's
okay.
The corn is there to protect us.
Okay.
Corn, our savior.
We're hiding in the corn.
And the activity of the person has just gone down this road, is the illusion of the self has just gone down this road of comparison. And it just gets stuck in loops of me and you and right and wrong and good and bad and should and shouldn't and guilt and blame. And it just goes in these loops. And these loops aren't ever a reality. And you never find a solution in these loops. So you never find a solution in anything that you think. So you think, okay, the problem is that I don't have enough quiet in my life, or I have too many people in my life, or I don't have enough money. And you think the solution is in the loop, is in that thinking and in that process. The solution is always in the moment. It doesn't mean that the body doesn't go and get money or have a quieter life. But when it's looping in the brain, there's no solution in that. That's just a loop going cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. And everything I say can become a loop in the brain. Like the brain then loops on non-duality. I shouldn't be feeling this. I shouldn't. So the thing is I've got to go to sit or whatever it thinks or listen or... But that doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. Then the mind's like, okay, I've got to not see, not go to these talks. It's just there's no solution there, ever. It's always in this moment. It's always what's happening. There's no solution in making the other guilty or making you guilty or sorting out your guilt or apologising or being good. It doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, that the body doesn't do it, like the body doesn't go and say, don't do that or something, but you won't find any peace in it. It will just begin a new loop. Once it's done that one, it will start a new one. But it's such an amazing functioning, the ability to compare. Like, I'm always, like, with my dog laughing, like, if her toy gets stuck under, like, it got under the piano, she's like, whereas, because the brain thinks in this way, I can move the piano. I can have the imagination of moving it, and then picking up the toy. Whereas she doesn't know she's doing that, because she can't think about the future not doing that. She just... That's her trying to get the toy up. And this thinking is just a functioning. The brain, and I don't even know if it's the brain that thinks. I presume it is, but who knows? It could be the heart that thinks. I don't know where it comes from. But I presume it's the brain. And all of it goes back down to nothing, to beingness and then nothing. There's these thoughts that appear presumably from the brain, and then the brain is created from... God knows what, actually. I can't go backwards. Eventually it comes to nothing. Hormones from the mother's belly. But all this activity gives appearances, certain appearances. The brain doesn't need to stop functioning, or thinking doesn't need to stop at all. But it's just not what you're looking for. Thoughts are endless. It's never in that. It's this. What is? Mine's like, huh?
What is this that is?
What is this? Well, I suppose emptiness... I don't know. I don't know what it is. This. I really don't know what's emptiness, no thingness, but... Whatever is.
But then you think it's not this and not looping and finding it in there and thoughts. But then, like, it's like empty-handed. You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It gives the feeling there's nothing you can do, and still you don't know. I don't know what this is. It.
You don't know what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, and it's another form of thinking with comparison is doing, and it's not like what should I do? And that's you can imagine how it was a really practical thing at the beginning. The body's just like. Got to function in order to survive, so doing it looks undoing, but then it gets obsessed with this concept. It's not about not doing. Choices appear, but and action appears, but it's not appearing from some specific place. And that non-specific place is the freedom, because it's boundlessness. It's not appearing from a specific you. Appearances of choices and actions will always happen. And there's actually no difference between internal choice and external choice. So it's like they're all flowing the same way. So, like Stan says, oh, shall we cook soup for lunch? And then there's like, yeah, it's like there's not really an inside and outside influence. It's just one movement happening. Choice is always kind of happening everywhere. The bodies, but it's just nothing to do with you. I mean, just think of all the billions, even now, that happening and the laughing happening and the looking happening and then the stirring the food. And then sometimes the thoughts coming up about what I should or shouldn't choose. And then there's an assumption it comes from somewhere, someone, and then it keeps looping in this idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's a better choice?
Yeah.
It also is happening again and again because choice, the reason so much importance is put on choice is because if you choose correctly, then you'll get pleasure.
Ah.
And it would happen in any animal. If Khaleesi had the ability to think, she would want to focus on pleasure too. Like, every body is drawn towards more pleasurable things than painful things. But the loop just gets stuck. I've got to choose correctly, I've got to get pleasure and avoid pain. And then it feels guilty for not getting pleasure, it feels embarrassed for not getting pleasure, it feels not loved for not getting pleasure. Like, we were walking around past the cows yesterday laughing. I was so insensitive. Like, the ones that were the milk cows and the meat cows. And then we were, like, imagining the meat cows being like, no, no, I think I'm definitely a milk cow. I'm not the meat cow. I'm a milking. Like, the ability to think and to compare the situation, like the ability to think, okay, I'm a meat cow in the future and I'm potentially going to experience pain when I die, creates so much suffering for the cow that's invisible. They haven't got words, these made up words, they haven't got meaning. There's some form of thinking, but it's not like the human storytelling. How can I avoid my death in the future? I mean, it's just, it's so funky that these words have appeared and that we've been able to think about our own death when death is just a made-up word. There's this really amazing film I'd love to show to you guys, but it's not out on DVD yet. It's called The Giver. Have any of you seen it?
What is it called?
The Giver. I'm great at recommending films. You guys are going to so enjoy that one. The Giver. So, maybe it's not in Europe at the moment. I saw it in America. The USA. I was in the USA last week. So, the Giver. And
they believe in miracles.
No, this was just at the local cinema. It weren't in the group. And basically, there is a whole new society, and they've just eliminated certain ideas. It's really cool, and they've eliminated the idea of death. And so they call it, moving on, that's it, or something like this, moving on to the other side. I can't quite remember what they call
elsewhere.
It.
Elsewhere, you said it was elsewhere?
Elsewhere, moving
yeah,
on.
Elsewhere.
That's yeah, it, elsewhere. And then what they would do is they would genetically breed children. And when they didn't get the correct child coming out, they would inject it and the child would fall asleep. And obviously in our language we would call it death, but they don't have the concept that the baby died. So it's just moving over to the other side and then they put it down a chute and there it goes.
That's sweet.
And they're like... They don't have the concept of death. They don't understand that it's like no longer existing because they don't have these words. So it's just like, they just, and then one of the people in the community has to remember everything, has to remember the whole of history. And this is amazing, because this is kind of what waking up's like. Like, you kind of remember what it's like to be everything. So one of the community has to carry on holding these memories for humanity. And so you see him begin to realize that they're killing people through remembering things, through remembering the word death, through remembering past. And he's mortified that they're killing things and he can't understand, why can't you see you're killing it? But before that, he never had that language. He never had that imagining. It was amazing the way thinking's working. And it's the same with the dog. This is what's so great about Khaleesi, is watching her. She has no idea that she's killing an animal. She doesn't have that language. That's not what's happening there. There's insane pleasure as she kills it. And then the other one, there's pain, but they have no concepts about what's happening. If we had completely different language, the experience would be so different. But we just ended up with this language. Then we think this language is real, that something actually dies, that we, and we live in this story, I've got to avoid my death, or I don't want to die. When it's a completely fictional word. Everything's fictional. Even fictional's fictional. It's amazing the way that these things have popped up and made reality seem a certain way. And the actual essence of everything, your original nature, is pure love. Khaleesi, when she kills the animal, I can see it in it, it's pure love. She's killing it. She's not killing it, that's our word. But We have to call it something to talk. She's killing the animal, and there's just pure love killing, and there's the animal, the other animal, which I assume doesn't have a person in it either, pure love experiencing extreme pain. The animal that's dying isn't dying, it's just extreme pain. It's not like, oh, it's so humiliating, I got eaten by a dog. It would be embarrassed if you got eaten by a dog to death. We'd be like, well, we don't want that death. She's the animal doesn't think about, oh, my family, and what about my three kids running around out there? What will this do to my mother? It's just pure fear. It's not even the word fear. It's not negative fear. It's not good or bad. It has no notion of that. It's pure energetic expression in absolute love. Your nature, everything's nature is love. I assure you, it's love. But then when these other ideas get lost into it, it creates this whole drama which seems to make it small and contracted and unsafe. But it's an absolutely imagined reality, and I think it only happens in the human form. I don't think it can happen in other animals, although maybe some dolphins and they say blackbirds or something. Paul was telling us about them. What was it? Magpies. I don't know what you guys call it. But it's an amazing thing to human form, because I assume that as we get more comfortable, that this illusion of self is going to dissolve, and it's going to happen so quickly in the future, because the younger generations, like ourselves, are going into the younger generations. So unless these bodies are identified, the next generation, because it's a genetic thing, it's like the cells that are passed on, will just be, by the time I'm most probably 80, well actually I only lived to 69, so when I'm 68, when I'm 68, the young generation will be like, oh Jesus Christ, this Lisa Ken, they'll think I'm like Eckhart Tolle or something, or someone that's like, speaks way too much. They won't even barely be speaking about it. It'll be so normal. It'll be like, it's like a natural, and they are you, like, it's just a natural, the energy is just moving there. Like, it's all one thing, energy moving from one to the other. You can even see it now, like the younger generation, like pop. You say a few words and like and then you'll be the younger generation soon. The body of those cells will turn into the younger generation. Or you might become a deer. I'm joking, there's not a unicorn. I mean the cells of the energy.
But we're still interested. 69?
Huh?
69,
I know. Well, I was actually quite happy. I mean, that seems quite old to me now. I was like, wow. 69. I told my mum and she was like, oh, that's terrible. She's 72.
She's out of danger. Sorry, over the hill.
They also said I'd become a multi-millionaire at 34. Mm. I'm now 34, so I'm waiting. Who's the millionaire in the room?
They all said that in India too.
Yeah, I had my Nadi lead read. You done the Nadi lead? That's so accurate.
Very accurate. Sir.
Yeah, they have a Nadi lead all written for you.
Yeah.
They go in and find it and then they read it to you. They've had it for 5,000 years.
But people are really afraid of that, huh?
What?
Like when you say it's all, like you used to say, it's all in the can.
Yeah.
It's all decided. I have, you know, when that flight, I had a bit of obsession about, because it's how when that Malaysian flight went down.
Yeah. Which one?
The first one,
the
huh?
The first one.
The unexplained one. Oh, yeah. That they never, there was a Jyotish astrologer online by the name of Sam Jeff, and he said 3 days after it went up, gone, he looked at the chart of the plane, because everything has a chart, the birthday,
yeah, yeah.
When it's, Very and the time of the, and the chart of the pilots. And he said, after 3 days, he said, that plane will never be found. No one survived. It will never be found. It most likely exploded in the atmosphere. And forget it. It's done. And then you had, but people say, we have to find it. We have to find it. This thing of, we have to find it, even if there's a tradition that seems to be saying, no, it's gone. The idea that it's gone is unacceptable and that you can do nothing about it. The pragmatic attitude, we can find it. Mm. And it's sort of like the idea, and it's also the upper middle class, the media people, people that have money, that will say, oh, because if we can find it, we can make sure it doesn't happen again. Mm. And it won't happen to me.
Yeah. And it's all in a fear. World. Yeah.
And I told it to people at the concert, you know, very evolved kind of people. And they said, oh, can you pass the sugar, please? You know, there's no, when people are not ready to hear, how can you say we can never find that plane? Because they will never find it. The astrologer said, it's gone. And what's so terrible about that? Yeah. That people are dead. Well, 30,000 children die every month of hunger.
And such negative idea around that word.
We have to find those people because they're like me. They're bourgeois, and they have money, and they travel. But I still have, I guess, some anger about that, or there's some emotion about that, saying it's so obvious. They're just dead. Dead is just gone. Like, is there...
Yeah.
What's so bad? But if you tell your mom, I'm going to die at 69, oh, that's terrible. But you could say, I'm going to live till 69. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
But it's... And
it
So everything that's ever happened and everything that's going to happen is happening now. Like, this is everything. This is Einstein, this is the Big Bang. Jesus Christ. This is everything. But not like we imagine it in this kind of world that's led to this. It's in every cell of everything. It's all this energy that's here, just this energy has expressed everything that's ever happened and going to happen. It's going to move into all these things. And even with the imaging now, that's the energy expressing it. Hi guys on Ustream, I know it's been quite a while. If you've got any questions, you have to call in when I do live talks. So you have to call me on Skype. So you can just call and ask away. I'm not going to answer any of your written questions. Some of these questions are quite sweet. So this girl says, okay, read a cute couple of the questions. She says, hi, does it help to attend your meetings or Tony Parsons, or is the same as watching YouTube videos? What is the difference? Thank you. It's kind of like an odd perspective of help and attending meetings or not attending meetings or YouTube versus live ones. And what's helpful? Because it's all in a funny world of you imagining yourself better in the future and you imagining yourself in the first place. I'm not saying it does or doesn't happen or benefit or not. They're all odd things. Like, what's the benefit? We've got to start off with a starting place for you then to imagine yourself as something bigger and better than that starting place. And both of them are weird. And if I were to say there's an energetic resonance, again, that's an odd thing to say. But we've got to say something, so why not? Something's got to come out. There's an energetic resonance. There seems to be remembering when you're talking with other people about non-duality or this subject, there's a remembering of that love, which is your nature, or that boundlessness, which is your nature. I don't really know how it's working, and it's just a happening. I don't really know where you start and stop, or you begin to benefit and end to benefit the benefit. It's all coming from a weird assumption. The assumption of you that's moving through time. About coming to live talks is Lisa gets paid money. I think Lisa gets paid money. And we've got to make $1 million by the end of 34. That's what they said. Yes, there's an energetic resonance. But it's all weird stuff. Like, it's all, even the idea of money is a weird thing, because there's never anyone that receives money or gives money. You never give away money. It's not working like that. It's like, is the sun giving when it shines? What gives to, at what point is giving starting? When, if it's all one, so we say, oh, the sun gives. The sun is the thing that gives the most. Where can we pull anything out? It's all one movement happening. It's like a kaleidoscope saying that, that one of these, just so everyone can see the kaleidoscope. You guys in U Street can't. But one of these patterns in here is more giving than something else. Like, if you imagine this all as money, like as our society works through money, there's bigger colours, but there's never really giving and receiving. It's just moving, happening. We say it in our limited language in order to express to the tax man and to function, but nobody ever really gets money and gives away money. No one ever really gets sunlight and loses sunlight, or there's not a solid thing ever. It's all constantly moving, which makes it no thing. We get obsessed with the game of money, though. Giving, getting, and losing. Well, you get stuck in the kaleidoscope. Oh yeah, I'm answering questions, guys. Hey, Roland. Hi, Ramon. Oh, I have a serious sun tan. Woohoo. Hey, Lute. You're talking to a computer, Lisa. Hey, Lewis. Oh, you guys are welcome to ask me any questions, anything comes up. I'm just going to go to the toilet. No leaving.
No. Well, if you like, you can get a coffee.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Julie. Less that goes on what you think you know, the more and more this becomes crazy mystery. And that stillness comes back to life, that emptiness comes back to life, not that it can come back to life. It's just an imagining. Oh, yes, please. Coffee. Yeah, I'll take a coffee too, please. Thanks.
Welcome,
just milk, please. Thank you. Oh, you've even got the biscuits. You get treated well at Stan's.
Lisa, isn't
there's no coffee.
When you say that, like the person can't go from this place to a better place, like that's a linear time. But if interest in spirituality, non-duality, or longing for home,
yeah,
it's the idea of going to a place a place that's finally home inside, yeah, where there's less suffering.
Yeah.
So there is a going, isn't there? No, or well, it can be either. It's a projection of a linear journey, yeah, but it is. You could you not say that where they're getting to?
Yeah, but it's happening right now, yeah, so you can't really imagine it as a future event. Although that's how the mind works, and while that mind is working in that kind of comparison past-future, that's how it will see it, as something that will be gotten in the future. That's fine, that's when the mind is looking at it like that. But you can't really ever get there, because it's always there. Yeah. It's never left. It's just that dream of getting there has been there. But what I was trying to talk about earlier, and it's so hard because it sometimes sounds so negative of what I'm saying, was I was trying to point out in those comparisons that when the mind, thank you, when the mind is imagining them, a better place, like, and when it's imagining that something's the wrong place, that's just part of the dream, like that you're possibly in the wrong spiritual group or the wrong position now, or like the freedom is always in what's happening. It's there in someone telling you that you've got to go and sit on your finger for 5 hours or something, or standing on one leg. Means like, yes, I've done that for quite a while.
Silly, the Nazi teachers will say, you know, that's the time of, it's sort of like in the Bible, it's like before BC and AD, you know, before Christ and after death. So it's like before enlightenment or before an awakening and after.
Yeah.
So what the mind doesn't know that it's not going to exist really. But that person is saying, well, when if I get to a better group, I'll get closer to enlightenment.
Yeah, and that's how it thinks it's working. But it's actually, what I'm trying to point to is that there is no external group to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to this external teacher out there that's going to lead you to it or away from it. There's just the energy expressing itself, and all of it is always exactly in place. Always, everywhere you go, everything that you hear, every word that's spoken, the mind thinks it's in the meaning of the words that are spoken, but it's in the actual sounds, it's in the appearances. It's absolute love that's being talked about at this point. It's just, in a lot of spiritual groups, we tend to think we're better, or this is more divine, or that this is more leading us home, and it's trying to challenge that idea. It's home when the bird's screaming outside, when last night there was a bird screaming for quite a while, or a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
It's home when you're hearing this. It's home in the meaninglessness of it. Not in what this means and where it goes. It's so beautiful. It sounds a little bit depressing to an imagination that works in what will this lead me to.
So even the suffering ego is perfectly on the right place.
Yeah, but there's not really a suffering ego, but yeah.
The presuming of is also perfectly there.
It's just an energetic expression. Yeah. It's like, by saying that it shouldn't be there or that it's out of place, it's like trying to take one of these colours out of here. It's an impossibility. You couldn't take anything out of this. This is just what energy is doing. It's moving around in circles, creating different patterns. It's so creative, it's created the illusion of self. If you go in, or out, so you go in like you had a microscope that saw closer and closer detail, you'll just see circles looping again, and when you go further out, you'll see it as well. And you look at the world from... It's all that same thing. And then the human thinks that it's acting independently. From all these patterns. It's just patterns. But that doesn't... What I'm also trying to point to is it doesn't mean that... So if somebody says to you, go and clean your room, and then you go and clean your room, you've not chosen to do that, and they've not chosen to say it. There's actually no prescription. There's always an argument in non-duality between prescription and description. Like, who's prescribing the bad people they're prescribing things to do? There's actually never anybody prescribing. How could there be anybody telling you what to do? It's just that in that moment, a voice says, go and clean your room, and then the body goes and cleans its room. But that voice saying, clean your room, has taken everything that's ever happened and everything that's going to happen. And then the body moving has taken everything that's ever happened right back to the Big Bang. And then the end of the Big Bang, when it all goes back in again to nothing. So if you're in a group that's telling you you've got to stand on one leg for hours, that's what's happening. And then the mind's like, this person's wrong. Who? They've got it wrong. There's nobody in there. There's just energy expressing that's led from, just moved from all things that have ever happened, which is no thing. I think the reason I'm really hitting on that, this is because when I was in Utah, people were getting really reactive with the Course in Miracles group. And it was seen from here as crazy. They're like, oh, they're telling you to do this, they're trying to control me. Who is trying to control them? They're just a result of everything. And so are you. Or nothing. Whichever way you go. It's like saying, this bit's wrong. This bit's wrong, right there. They're trying to control me, the bastards. Why are they saying this? They've got it wrong. Everybody's got it wrong if you associate meaning. Mm-hmm. All right. We've talked about this before with the
meaning is a great relief.
Yeah, yeah. But also with the TM and everything. Mm-hmm.
Like with languages, people say, oh, that's amazing, is that wonderful? That person speaks 5 languages or 3 languages. Now you can just say the same stupid things in as many ways as you want, you know? It has no value in being able to say those words in a different way. Because if any of them have meaning, you're just saying, isn't that brilliant? Isn't he smart or isn't she brilliant because she can speak 4 languages or 6 languages.
Yeah, but it can enrich the experience, can't it? If somebody speaks multiple languages, that thing can have a richer experience of everything. It can communicate with more things within it. It's not like a null and void thing, is it?
Your play field is bigger than that.
Yeah. Just opens up the experience in a bigger way.
In a way, it's bigger.
It's nice. And it speaks like 10 languages, and she's like, no, it's not nice. You have to understand it all.
Yeah, as long as you think that that's better.
No, not better.
It's just useless.
They're just saying it creates a whole nother experience.
It just enriches your experience.
It doesn't create anything. It doesn't create anything. It's just noise. Somebody can make more noises than you. And you think they're having a better experience. Because they can go to 5 countries and have girls in 5 languages.
It's like if somebody doesn't have an olfactory sense of smell and then all of a sudden they get it.
No, but
then
I'm not.
Smell beautiful aromas coming from things that your experience has just opened up.
It's not the same.
It is.
But the same. That's.
I don't mean just
not. Why is it not the same?
Because that's a given in the human body. Yeah?
Isn't the speaking a sense as well?
Yeah, but we already have that. No, speaking is not a sense. Hearing is a sense. Smelling is a sense.
But isn't thinking a sense?
Speaking is not a sense. It happens to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to do that, a lot of that to learn that it's worthless. It doesn't open up anything. Mm. It's just an idea that it's better. There, they've got it better, so I'm going to try to get that. And then...
No, I just mean generally being able to...
I don't know what is generally being able
to
mean.
Your experience is broader because you can communicate with another piece of this experience that you wouldn't have been able to have communicated with before, and that just might be more enriching.
But
it's not better or worse.
But yeah, enriching gives the idea that it's better.
No, that's not what I mean. No. I just mean richer.
Richer is better than poor, right? More is better than less.
No.
That's not true.
No.
How can...
This is great, isn't it?
It's an even big wonder as somebody who has just the ability to paint anything. You're amazed by the fact that you can't and he can.
Yeah.
There is Stan who can play music. It's
that's
amazing.
Different. That's artistic expression.
No, but it's not.
Artistic expression is a gateway to heaven. Yeah?
You play music, you talk three languages. It's all the same. There is no difference. It's an expression right. by music, and
yes,
another one
is
an expression by
speaking
right. three languages. But it's just a fact. You play Bach and you play Beethoven, and you play both of them. So in a way, it's richer. Your life is richer. But
your
I won't say it's
rich.
Richer.
I won't say that
your
is
life
your
is
life
richer
life?
Than mine. It's
How
just different.
Know?
That's the
yeah. But you're saying richer, enrichment. How are you richer? How do
no,
you know
you
that person is richer
no, you
than you?
You can't say that.
It's projection that they're richer than you are, and they have a better life.
You seem to be filtering what everyone's saying through you through something that people aren't saying there, because there's some personal thing to do with like experience of language or something, or the sounds of it. All I was saying at first is like this whole thing is just. Yeah. One fucking insane expression of something.
No, but then one. No, you're saying
the
no, that's not what you said. What you said is that... that's not what it doesn't work. What you said was...
The experience can be richer. Yes.
Because they speak four or five languages.
No,
I said, no, they could say the same inanity to be an asshole
within
as many languages as you like.
See, that's
if
one thing about how you all take it through your filter of something.
That's what's
what
coming.
Being said.
What's being said here is not what's being said there, and that's fine. I'm not going to convince you. I'm just saying I know lots of, in this experience, there's a lot of experience of many, many human body, mind, organisms that speak lots of languages, and they're not richer than a deaf mute.
It's not what we are saying that the one is,
well, how, now you're
it's
saying
better
you
or richer or less.
Two guys. Two
well,
guys.
Whatever. No, it's just that.
Yes, you are. You're saying it's richer. Enrichment. It's richer. How do you know it's better?
Just,
you don't
it's
know
not
that.
Better. It's just...
It's richer.
The one
so
speaks
enriched.
Three languages and the other one just speaks one.
We're getting
that's
hung up on
two
one
more
words.
That's two more what?
Two
more two words?
Two more languages.
Wow. Two more words. Two more languages.
Yes. It's
and why is that better?
Two more facilities to reach a bigger group of people. That's all.
For what reason?
For what reason?
Why? Why
for no reason.
No.
It is just like it is. It's just the fact that you reach three people and the other one just reach one people. That's all. I don't say it's better or no, but it's just a fact.
Mm.
That the one can paint and the other one can play
that's
music
not,
and
no.
that the other one
no, no.
doesn't.
That's
and it's not that it's better or not, it just...
Yeah, I think painting and playing music is better than speaking languages. Because that's a question of the intellect. If I speak languages, I can connect with more people. I do the painting or music, that's just an expression of...
That's all
the
same
thing.
It's anyway,
same.
Right. Okay.
There's
so
no,
it's not richer, is it?
No, it's
enrichment.
It's
enrichment and richer.
Well, what's in the word?
Yeah. Okay.
Name.
Coming from a lady who earned her entire living teaching languages.
It's just sounds.
No silence.
No.
He's still looking for his underwear.
I know what's under Stan's bed. Yeah. That'd be exciting now.
Yeah.
Found the underwear.
Advaita is not easy to understand because of the language. It's a certain difficulty for me. And I talked with Neo yesterday evening about that, and she said to me that understanding is absolutely
nothing
and not useful. And then?
Huh?
And then?
This?
What?
But you don't come for the language and the understanding. The first time you came, you told me you came because you could see it in me. I'm you, so you see it in a form. You remember that stillness. You never came for the language or the understanding anyway. But your mind likes to play the game. If I don't understand, I noticed. Doesn't matter. But you know this. You know it's this silence that's right here. You know it's that understanding just goes. But while we do that, that's what
because what we have to do something here. Mm-hmm. Why we are speaking?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, why is life appearing?
Yes.
It's just happening.
Reason is again a mind game.
Huh?
Reason is again a mind game.
Yeah.
The reason why something happens.
Yeah. I used to think that it was about me understanding it and getting it. I really thought that that's... And I thought that there would be one day where I'd be like, oh, I get it now. Like that I got it. It's really not like that.
Yeah.
It's that I, which is there now, has been there no matter how old the body is, no matter what you think. That am that's there now. That am is everywhere and nowhere is nothing. And the ultimate source of everything is that nothing. That am is there no matter what understanding. I know that Stan says it to you like that, the I. He says, I was listening to him last night and he was saying, the eye is there. The eye is there. It was talking to you. The eye is there. Tomorrow you come and you say, I lost it, but the eye is still there. Or the am is still there, or that beingness is still there. No matter what understanding comes and goes. And everybody that is here knows this, otherwise it wouldn't be here. If it was just an intellectual thing. If it was intellectual, it would be like...
Total nonsense.
Yeah. Everywhere we sit in an idea, we always jump to the other one anyway. We go from one to the other.
Lisa, I didn't really get it. Did you agree with Stan or disagree on that?
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, it's not the language that I particularly speak in, but I knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
I was sitting out there not listening all the time, but every time the listening went, tack, 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 tack. He was
coming.
You feel the guilt, you feel the loss, you feel the I've lost it, I've got it, and what's still there? The I. And the I is nothing, he was going. Nothing, empty. Or he was using the word empty. I'm sure he speaks with you two like this. No?
Mm. Thanks.
You are still there, but not you as a body. Imagination quickly goes to the body, or goes to experiences, or
past or future. That I that's there when you can't, when you wake up and you can't even remember who you are. You've not even thought, oh yes, I'm this body, I've got to do this today. It's just alive, or in a dream at night. And then the, it's like that aliveness is the bridge, which is absolute bollocks. But we just say it just for language, bridge to that nothingness and the everythingness. Because that amness is nothing. And it's also full of everything. It was funny because every time I listened in, every time it was like you were trying to do a side move somewhere. You were like, and then you see even your body like,
It was just the same situation as we had. Just it has no sense to discuss about this. It's just.
Oh, but it has no sense, but it has to happen.
Yeah. Yes, of course, it just happens, yes. Yes.
It was beautiful, though.
Yeah, it was really beautiful, yeah.
Because it went nowhere at the end. It's the same eye, yes. The mind thinks it's got somewhere, or it thinks, oh God, I got nowhere. But it's always that same aliveness, that beingness. Yeah. No matter what understanding, no matter what perspective, no matter what sounds, always the same.
It's almost.
But the energy goes, it's like the energy pushes into those sounds, and then it feels like it's limited in those sounds, like limited in those ideas and beliefs, and it feels like it's small in that world. And then it's overlooked that there's always that same beingness, which is nothing.
Yeah, but you say nothing happened with you. Huh? You thought you could find liberation, but you never found it.
Did I say that?
You thought you should understand
it. I thought I'd understand it. Yeah.
But still, there is, I also say that to Sven, some kind of recognition.
Well, yeah, I don't really know what
and
it
I
is.
Don't know.
But it seemed to go in stages in the apparent story of like, stages like first was seeing awareness, even though it was nonsense, the awareness stuff, but like seeing all these things, or and it would be in weird ways, like in dreams you'd wake up and there'd be nothing there and just the aliveness, and or you'd just be standing there and you'd forget who you are, and then you'd remember, so it would just take you, and but it wasn't like an intellectual thing, and then suddenly the energy just changed from narrow me, like it just changed over, but I didn't really get it.
Yeah.
It was always an experiential thing. I really thought, though, that it would come with a, like, you know, from, like, Muhammad going on the mountain and the Ten Commandments or something. I thought it would come with, like, a download of information and be like, ah, that makes sense why the world does this. It just changes from this personal energy that believes it's in time to that amness that's absolutely still and nothing. And then this is the weird thing, is everything is known but not like you imagine it. Like when I look at, or when anyone does something, I can completely know and understand why they do that. Like it's never out of the ordinary, say even if I'm presented with like a murderer or. But as an energetical thing, as an intimate, not as an understanding. Well, you could say because there's no seeking left anymore, then there's nothing that could not be understood. Mm. It's only not understood when there's seeking. Or when there's questions.
Yeah.
We just spoke about you for half an hour, Stan. We were just talking about you.
Ooh.
You. Oh, black hole there.
The man has no head.
It's really the falling away of every belief, bit by bit, and
it's kind of like this middle energy which sucks into the beliefs, and then words can still come out and all this, but that energy that's sucking something or narrowing everything stops.
Yeah.
And it's just coming and going, coming and going.
Even throwing away the belief of non-believing, it's continuously Yeah. The process that comes.
And it's very energetical, it seems. Bonnie's even energetical. It's like when you are believing something, it physically hurts in a way. Like when you're arguing with someone or when you're holding on to something, it's like you've got a plank of wood in you.
Mm.
Energetically, that's the problem. If it was just thought, it's like, bonk, off. Oh. Bonk, off. Oh. Funny.
But at a time, you got stuck in it. And now you just realize immediately that you're in the belief of...
Whenever it's hurting, then you're in some form of defense.
Yeah.
Not hurting as in like painful, like someone stabbing your leg, but I mean like that sense of like, you know, that kind of
contracting.
Yeah.
And then often you get stuck in the opposite story because so it's hurting, and then the mind goes, they've done something really bad, and you're kind of not. It's like the mind goes into an opposite story, or you're hurting. So say you're feeling like lost and not knowing what to do, then the mind starts telling the story of how you're going to go and live there next month and feel better about living there. So it does the opposite thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's not even any knowing of that. Because you're just telling the opposite story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting angry with someone and you're still telling the opposite story, so you don't even notice.
So that's why slamming of the door makes more sense sometimes.
Slamming of the door?
Slamming of the door, you leave the room, you slam the door, you're outside in the cold winter night, you don't take any more door arguments, and the cold makes everything better, because it's this energetic thing. You see?
No.
No.
I don't get that.
You can keep on arguing with somebody.
Oh, yeah, that's just an argument.
On this energetic level, you leave the room, you slam the door, you're outside, you feel the cold, you see the stars and the moon. You stop thinking, breathing, oxygen, you go inside again, it's all over.
Mm.
No more argument. Mm. So somehow you can feel that it's energetic. If you should have listened to this energetic movement earlier, it wouldn't have had to come so far.
You can't really listen to it earlier. It can only be the way it does.
Yeah.
And while there's a fighting and defending, because often fighting and defending, say with your partner, is you're trying to tell them the opposite story you feel to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
It's always, the energy always tries, it's always trying to help. So it tries to, no, you definitely did something wrong. And if you can pin it on the other person,
yeah,
there's it makes you feel a bit better for the uncomfortableness.
Yes.
Yes, they did something wrong, that's where the fault lies. Let's erase that fault, and then it feels... Yeah. Often you can't convince the other person that they're wrong. They're like, well, actually, let me tell you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's all about nothing, ultimately. There's nothing that's true. And, but yeah, it has to act out. And it'll stop acting out when it stops.
But I can feel it's so true. You say it's all about energy. It's trying to lift 100 kilo with nothing but your voice.
You're trying to what?
Trying to lift a weight of 100 kilo with nothing but your voice is not possible.
Yeah.
So, so this whole argument makes really no sense at all.
But energetically it does a funky thing. Like often also arguing in relationships keeps people together.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they've got something. They've got an energy together. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like if... Sometimes certain body mind mechanisms, when they're with someone that they get on with, they begin to get really bored and agitated.
Yeah.
At least the arguing distracts. It's funny the way it's all going. But all this energy is just going to play out until it's tired. It's like a spinning top, or it's like a bee.
Mm.
It's like a bee buzzing and then saying to the bee, you can't buzz anymore. No more buzzing.
Yeah.
So while that energy's there of defending and then making up a different story, it's got to play out. You'll never feel better from making someone else feel bad. Isn't that hilarious that we do it? Never feel better in any of it. It believes it will.
Well, after a while it sees that it will never help.
I sometimes think if the bodies lived for 500 years, they would just always pop.
Yeah.
Maybe after 200 years, they'd see that it's all the same. One thing to another. Nothing really matters.
But if you see how people sometimes become, when they're 50 years old, they're like caricatures of their cartoons of what they were when they were 30, and when they're 70, they're even worse. So you can only imagine what would happen if they would live for 200 years.
Yeah.
They would be fierce monsters.
Like Gollum.
Yeah, like Gollum, that's right. Yeah.
I think it would begin to implode. I make it sound so negative sometimes, but it's so totally not negative for something. Because there's nowhere to sit or position it. Mind thinks, oh, that's negative, then, like, because I'm not going, it's all the time, it's love, or it's amazing. It's really not negative, this subject. The whole story of there's nothing I can do, or this is hopeless. That's not what we're talking about here.
But as long as couples argue, keeps them together, and one of the dynamics I've been noticing up in my past relationships is that as long as there's an argument, the energy gets really high, and that there's a high off of that,
yeah.
And even if they're really wrong, and then there's makeup sex, huh?
Yeah.
You get back together, and usually that sex is really good, huh? I don't anymore. I don't. So in my past relationships, that's how it seemed to function. Is that there's an argument, huh? Man, woman, and it really gets all heated and then there's really good sex after that. And then it relaxes. It's like the orgasm is like an energetic orgasm for the argument.
Well, it's like Matcha said, you just go outside in the cold.
Yeah. I don't know if your sex is like that. Yeah, some people do that, and some people have
kind of
sex.
Yeah, sure.
It's a hint for next time, Matcha.
You're like
the
man.
But the 70-year-old ones rarely have the makeup sex. So.
Hello, Nick. Thanks for your message yesterday. Too cute. Just got up and you're on. Woohoo! Morning coffee with Lisa and Stan. This is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Hey.
Here we go.
Hello.
Nick was meant to be here, but he had an unfortunate illness.
Which
we can't share. Nick's like, yeah, share. He says he's waving.
Which finger?
We humans assume that we're done with that. Can I ask a question? Yes, you can ask a question, Ewan. It's better if you call in on Skype. My Skype's Lisa Cairns 12. Thank you. So Phyllis, associating too much meaning to words has hurt you in the past. So now the story comes up, words are meaningless. Languages are meaningless. Totally fine.
But doesn't it, I don't know if it's the story, it just appears that they have meaning or no meaning, or that it's, that, that what you say, the attachment to the meaning is mind.
Yeah.
If I can understand it, I can manipulate it, I can control it, and I can make it not happen.
Kind of thing, yeah.
It hurts. Yeah. It hurts everyone.
Yeah. Especially if there's an intellectual mind that really can grasp the meaning of words.
An intellectual keeps on going to get more meanings and more languages. You know, if I can only get the master's degree and I'll understand it better, then I'll go for the PhD and then I'll really understand and not suffer. But maybe it's a universal thing. If you think you know it, if you can understand it, you can manipulate it.
Hiya, someone's just called
in
for this.
Yeah, go.
Hi, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Oh, I can't hear you. Are you speaking away?
Is this speaker on?
Oh yeah,
down below.
That's why. Hi, hi, yeah, we didn't hear you, now we hear you.
Okay, there's two questions I had on my mind.
Yeah.
And they're kind of connected. The first one's a bit weird. Can you tickle yourself?
Do you know, somebody was asking me this recently. That's not an old question, as you think.
Okay.
I was talking to everyone else, not you, but okay. I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, it's a kind of strange neurological fact that people can't tickle themselves.
So it needs somebody else to tickle. And also, they were talking the other day about, but I forget what that means in relation to non-duality.
Well, I just wondered if your experience was different than when you tickle yourself. If you respond as if it was...
Oh, you're actually asking me the question.
Yes.
Yeah, nothing happened.
No.
And what about... what happens when you tickle me? Okay. Yeah, I didn't feel tickled, though. Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. Someone was telling me, like, you could just put his hand... Somebody's hand can go near there, and he's like... Yeah, that's funny.
And the connecting question was, neuroscientists are looking in the brain for where the self comes together and they can't find it.
Well, some have said they can.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's Damasio thinks it's arising in the body, but they still can't, you know, locate precisely a place in the brain where it all comes together. It's kind of distributed throughout the brain. But I just wondered, and I'm just using the science as an analogy, but where does it come together for you? Where's the... if the self is dissolved...
When the self's there, it was like an energetic contraction in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like I was watching from inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like an energetic thing.
Right. And where does it come together now?
Which bit?
This... Yeah. Experiencing, or
I don't know that after the change happened, then that position was lost.
Mm-hmm.
There's relative chatting that can go on from like relative thoughts that come up about Lisa's body is the portal in which this is experienced, but that sense of I cannot be found anymore. It's
so,
positionless.
So there isn't a coming together, or there is.
There isn't, or there is. I don't really know, I'm just getting lost in your face. No one else can see your face. I can.
Right. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to ask. Because there's a lot of this where it doesn't come together, it could be defined as an insanity, couldn't it, somehow?
Yeah.
There's plenty of people.
But it could also be defined as an insanity where it does come together.
Yeah.
What an insane ideas the humans have about themselves.
Yeah.
But it could seem like a... So I think both ways could be viewed as an insanity. It could be viewed as an insanity because when that position goes, there's not a sense of who or what you are, and that could be viewed as an insanity from a very logical perspective. But then also, if you look at humans and the fact that they believe what they think, that's absolutely crazy. That any thought has ever been taken as a reality. But because that's the way that all humans function, that's taken as a norm in some way.
Yeah.
But yeah, in another way, the other, having no meaning on anything and no position, could also be described as insanity as well, because it's not sensical anymore. So insane. Or not. I don't know though. You can always jump from one position to another with words.
Is there a period where you don't function? I mean,
I've met bodies which do struggle to function for a while.
I think Eckhart Tolle was kind of down and out in Central Park for a few years, wasn't he?
Yeah. We were, yeah.
After this awakening.
Yeah. I think a few people report that back. And not all bodies. Some bodies don't even really notice much of a change. It's funny. I found crossing the road quite hard. I would look like an insane person just standing at the edge of the road waiting.
Why did the non-duality chicken cross the road?
That's why.
He didn't know.
Forgot how to do it.
But amazing how this body just does things. It always has been the way. Like, when I was a kid, I always used to get tripped out by the legs walking. Let the legs walk. It's so weird the way it's all happening, that the fact that sounds are being heard now. The speaking's happening, the nodding and looking's happening, the thinks and thinking and thoughts are coming up. There's that sensation of wetness in the mouth. How odd is all of this?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Are you still...
Yeah, he's still here. Yeah, you guys can't see, can you? What a weirdo. You can still say if you've got more questions coming.
No, that's all that comes to mind at the moment.
And what did you say your name was?
It's Ewan.
Ewan.
Yeah, I'm from Wales.
Oh, nice. I think I've spoken with you before, but badly pronounced your name.
No, I don't think we have.
Oh, it's a different Ewan.
Possibly, yeah. So.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. Do I sign out now?
I'll just hang up on you, but you can call back if you've got anything else.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Ewan.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, I was packing and so on, and suddenly... I was on the toilet, I don't remember exactly where it was, but, I mean, I could say, everything was felt very open, which is nothing so special, but suddenly I really thought, well, this is it, and that also has happened in other senses, but then very quickly I felt so duped by all these teachers who make it so complicated. But I thought, well, what has happened is the dots from the I thought or the I whatever energy has fallen away. I mean, the idea about it. But it's just like, I mean, it's too ordinary. Yeah. It's too ordinary.
But you can't be duped by anybody.
No, I know, of course, yeah. But I've got this energy, like, or I could also have said, how stupid am I that I have to run after whatever for 30, 40 years, and, you know, always thinking, what is it now, really, or I can't find it. Anyway.
I completely don't see it like that. I see it as like a divine dance of energy that's happened. Why not do it as you running after spiritual teachers for a while?
Yeah, but I don't even want to be taken serious by what I say. I mean, it was so crazy that I got so angry very quickly. Like, can't people tell it like it is? It is really just, I mean, like it's just so obvious that there's nothing around which can have a boundary on, I mean, where, makes sense, or
I understand, but it felt
very ordinary, but very just like it is, that everything had no boundaries, that it's just all connected, it's just this. It was totally normal, just only the fact that it was special in my head, like made it special, but I thought, it's just reality, what the hell is everybody having difficulties with something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It was interesting, but then I got sort of scared because I felt tremendous anger.
Yeah.
Like, God, like, this whole business and the whole thing. Why can't we stick with God, you know? It's the same thing anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole non-dual thing felt so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so...
No, I have nothing to say to that. Nothing comes.
Yeah. Maybe I thought, well, it felt like expense, like an expansion, and that may have been too much.
I also wonder if it's also the mind then goes back into that story of
why did I go to
all these teachers? Because then if this is it, then what games are going to be played anymore? What games are there left to play? Where is the left to go that's more important?
It's just like the total, or how do you call that?
But I noticed that a lot of seekers go through that stage of like real anger, like towards the, like real anger towards the spiritual path.
Yeah, it's something like, well, I just be myself or something. Yeah. Something like, they all say, it's just simple, it's only this and that. But first there was some kind of wow, you know, like but then again this very strong contraction. I have that more often when I open up
again, and then back into that,
and has been contracting that yesterday very much and so on, but that's sort of anyway, that's the way it happens. And I'm sure it was not an opinion that this is so ordinary. I'm sure that this was it.
It's like everything else dissolves, so there's no back and front, it's just it's just this.
Yeah.
Just this. Very simple.
Yeah.
And it's free because it's not anything else than this.
Maybe just wondering that how on earth can the mind be so stupid that it's so old.
thinking it through. But even thinking that is like thinking, why is the insect an insect, or why is the bird flying?
Yeah.
It just is something that appeared. It seems to have to appear in the human dance.
Yeah, but it wasn't also a judgment, like it was a measurement. It was sort of...
There's just no victims ever.
Yeah, no, no.
Mine's like...
Yeah.
It's so simple. No, Thank you. Okay, there's just no victimhood. There's just one energy expressing itself. The cat, I mean, what about the poor cow in the field that we're going to eat? It's just like, doesn't care.
But a month ago, I was wandering in the middle of the nowhere with my car. It was stuck. And I didn't think that...
In the middle of
what? So
nowhere.
Oh, in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. And I couldn't think, this is very simple.
It just was.
It was for me not very simple. Because I understand this, all what you are saying, and but I was in the middle of the night with my car, and in the misty, and I didn't know where I was, and then it was not simple for me. I mean, it's not always to exercise. I mean, to exercise this or to feel what you are saying in a problem.
It's not very simple then.
It's often the problem.
Yeah, when the problem comes up, life is not simple.
No.
Life is complicated.
Yes.
Otherwise the problem wouldn't appear.
But isn't it just fear?
But what is simple though in all of that is there's always that original aliveness. Even with the problem or no problem or the simplicity, there's always that original beingness. That original am. That was there when the body was 2 years old, when the body's stuck in the mist, when the body's in a big, huge problem or thinks it's a problem or when it feels victimized. There's always that one aliveness. And that is home, never the situation. But the energy goes so far into the problem that it feels like the problem's the reality. But always, even in the problem, there was that I, that's nothing, or that amness, that nothingness. But when it's in the problem, it's got to be complicated. So there it goes.
The problem is never a problem. The I have a problem. That makes it negative.
But the I is always a problem.
The problem is no problem.
No.
Just you.
No. The I, that's a problem.
I have a problem.
On that road, I was the problem. But it was a problem. The I was the problem. Now at this moment that I studied theology for 8 years as when I was young, that I got so angry at these teachers. I finished it because I thought, you start, you have to finish them, that was the first stage, and I disliked this study very much, and but I finished it and was kind of changed its subject, but I never could find a word with that. I didn't want it. But I think that's still a remnant of this
anger
against these professors, but the whole thing, like the whole culture with this whole silly study.
Because you're never going to get to an answer, ever. You can study and listen to speakers, but the only answer is that original beingness that's always been there.
Sure, but that was not in the air, but
to the person, that is really frustrating, because it was told all the time, all the way through the dream, that it would find the answer when it was the illusion.
Yeah.
It's always your essence, your childlike essence. It's even there before the body, but as a child, sometimes you can remember just being without thinking you have to know what being is or what you need to do or where you need to go. But the whole of society plays this game of you need to know where you're going, you need to work it out, you need to do it, you need to understand this. Yeah. Even in spirituality, that's what happens. But it couldn't be any other way. That's the divine dance of it, the frustration and then the end of frustration. The tight, contracted energy and then poof. That's the way it goes.
I can feel this energy. There's a couple of days I can feel this energy coming to an end now. But at the same time, there's another energy that says, oh, I hope this really is the end now. So it's not ending, you see. It's like flickering, you know.
Like waiting, yeah.
Yeah.
But then when you're drinking your cup of tea or eating your dinner or laughing, it's gone. There's no sense of you.
No.
And then it comes back and goes, oh yeah, I have a problem. What's the problem? Sometimes when the body wakes up in the morning, I don't know if you noticed this or I remember, like the body wakes up, it lays there and then it looks around for the problem. It's, hang on, what's the problem here? Where is the problem? But when you drink your cup of tea or eat your dinner, there's just absolute immersion, particularly eating or laughing. And then the mind comes back in and says, I'm waiting for you to go. It can't even realise its own absence, it was just eating. And then it goes back into that dip, 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 dip. And then someone goes, how are you? And you're like, oh, fine, thank you. And there's no me or you or anything, it's just action happening.
Yesterday when Stan and Bernard, they had their little session, I think I enjoyed it even more than David.
I think just Stan enjoyed it.
Afterwards, I couldn't help asking myself the question, but how is it possible that so many thick books have been written with thousands of pages, and what are they all about? How is it possible?
Yeah, but how is it possible the sun shines?
Yeah.
There's a lamp and there's a body that moves and the blood that's in the body. I mean, because it is...
Because there was no denying that what Stan was telling me, it felt... Okay, this must be what it's all about. It is. No, it was not even a conviction. It was the knowing that this is what it's all about. And then...
But easily the mind will get into arrogance over this.
Yeah.
It just comes back to that original I.
Yeah.
And then it will swing into, but how do all these books get written? Or this is the simple truth. And then tomorrow, like Stan said, it will be like, and now I lost it. Yeah. But there's always that I. There's always that beingness.
Yes.
No matter what, and then it's like all these teachers are bad. I'm being Messiah, dinner. Always there.
I can see that. Though.
And they're not separate from you. These books, these other speakers that are speaking. To blame them is a game. We like to do it in non-duality though, because then it gets more followers. I'm joking. I can't get more followers because there's nobody that follows. Who is it? Oh yeah, Eckhart Tolle. Who else is an Uji? What are they talking about? Well, who else is there that really goes for it and practices? Oh yeah, I know one that everyone always bags, poor guy. He's very rich. Deepak Chopra.
Oh, yeah.
That's
your man.
Deepak Chopra. But he gets the money. It's not better, Lisa, money. He gets the woman, the fame.
Oh.
All the guys, who knows.
But is he enlightened, Deepak?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Where does it, yeah.
Does it matter? He's rich.
Yes, mummy.
Ramesh Bosaki, you'll say.
It's got
money. I just love it when it's like this, because all these hippies in India with their, like, they're rags on and everything, he'd be like, if you get offered £1 million or enlightenment, take the £1 million.
Ramesh,
I've heard that same phrase, but I don't know if it was from Ramesh. Say, take the £1 million, you're offered enlightenment or $1 million, take the $1 million, because there will still be somebody to enjoy it.
Oh, he said that thing.
Yes. Yeah, I know, but you said it. Yes, but I heard that. So.
I was just the million.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, God knows what he said. Don't listen to anything that I quote.
But he was a banker, he was very rich.
Yeah, very rich.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He liked money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And whiskey.
You used to go and see Ramesh as well. Or was that me that told you?
Must be you.
That's nice, honey.
So Mansell says, is the power to remember and our memories that make us believe who we are? I don't know what it is, but it does seem to be the illusion of self only seems to come with a human body, so maybe having a bigger brain is something to do with it. The ability to imagine. It can also be the other way. There can be the collapse of that illusion, and there can still be complicated thinking. So, it goes both ways.
She thought she had my food, but she had only that the bottle. She was.
She's not buying it, so you do that.
You're laughing about you.
Okay, well, I think it's break time now.
Yeah.